Chances are you haven't seen the movie Stars and Bars that William Boyd wrote, based on his novel of the same name. Although the film stars Daniel Day-Lewis, it's only opened in a few cities. Boyd has written a new novel about a film director obsessed with making an epic based on philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau's book, The Confessions. Boyd's novel, The New Confessions, takes the autobiographical form of Rousseau's book. It's the story of John James Todd, who was born in 1899. His life parallels the major historical events of the 20th century. Here's William Boyd reading a passage in which the character introduces himself.
Let me tell you something about this enterprise upon which we have both, you and I, embarked. Here is a story of a life, my life, one man's life in the 20th century. This is what I have done, and this is what has been done to me. If on occasion I have used some innocent embellishment, it has been only to fill the odd defect of memory. Sometimes I may have taken for a fact what was no more than a probability. But, and this is crucial, I have never put down as true what I knew to be false. I present myself as I was, vile and contemptible when I behaved in that fashion, and kind, generous, and selfless when I was so. I have always looked closely at those around me, and have not spared myself that same scrutiny. I am not a cynic, I am not prejudiced, I am simply a realist. I do not judge, I note. So, here I am. You may groan at my unbelievable blunders, berate me for my numberless imbecilities, and blush to the whites of your eyes at my confessions, but can you, I wonder, can you really put your hand on your heart and say, I am better than he?
Your book, The New Confessions, is, in a way, an homage to Rousseau's Confessions.
Yeah.
And your character is trying to film, the main character in your book is trying to film Rousseau's book. Why is that book important to you, as I imagine it must be?
Well, it had a similar effect on me as it does on my character, in that I was studying the literature of the early 19th century, and in the course of this kept getting a lot of references to The Confessions by Rousseau, this scandalous book that had shocked Europe. And I turned to it out of a sense of duty, but I, in fact, had an amazingly pleasant read. It's a fantastic book. It's completely modern and candid in tone, and to think it was written in the middle of the 18th century is quite astonishing. So it was like a great breath of fresh air blowing through the sort of dusty scholarly studies that I was engaged on at the time. And I got very caught up in the character of Rousseau, a kind of self-destructive, genial egomaniac who's paranoid and neurotic, but at the same time an astonishing talent and rather remarkable human being. And I just thought, I wonder what he'd be doing if he was alive today. And that was the beginning of the novel. So my character is a sort of debased, slightly vulgarized Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
The main character in your book lists through some of the great events of the century, both world wars, the transition in movies from silent films to sound films. But somehow living through all these great events doesn't really ennoble him and make him wise?
No, I think, this is my own feeling, I feel that you can participate in great historical moments, but for most people, they pass them, history kind of passes you by. You're actually more preoccupied in earning a living or falling in and out of love or something like that, and you don't realize the momentous times you're living in. And so I wanted to look at one man's life in the 20th century, as I say, and put him down in certain key places. For example, he's in Berlin during the rise of the Nazis, but he's not really bothered about the Nazis. He thinks they're slightly odd, eccentric people. And my own impression from doing the research and reading ordinary lives or accounts of ordinary lives during these events is that most of their significance is derived from hindsight, and you, at the time, you don't really know that you're living through something momentous.
Now, what about you? Do you think of yourself as having been shaped by the momentous events that you have lived through, or do you think that you have just not paid that much attention to them and not been that shaped by them?
I don't think I've been that shaped. I mean, maybe when I'm in my 70s, I'll look back and see some sort of pattern. But I think life's a much more random, chaotic business than we would normally think. The one event I was shaped by was living in Africa, in Nigeria, during the Biafran War, which was a particularly bloody civil war, and I was kind of on the fringes of that. And that did have a big effect on me, and it did change the way I thought about a lot of things. But at the time I was 17 or 18, and it wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that it began to sink in. So even there, when it seemed like, you know, history was kind of boiling up all around me, or African history was, I was kind of passing through it as a fairly callow, unobservant teenager, but it did buffet me around a bit.
Was it finally more terrifying to experience it than what you thought it would be like?
I think so. I think that all our kind of human endeavors to explain or evaluate end up by putting a kind of shape and form on experience. And my own intuition is that experience is much more random and uncontrolled than we like to think. I think we all pretend that the sun's going to rise the next day, but you can't know anything for sure. And I saw in Nigeria during those years at the end of the 60s just how crazy and messed up life could be. And that's why again and again I come back to writing about war in my books, because I think it's a very handy metaphor for the conditions that we all live under, even in comparatively mundane and banal existences. It's not as under control as we like to think.
Well, you grew up in colonial Africa. What brought your parents to Africa? Why did they move there?
Well, my father was out there during the Second World War. He was an army doctor, and there were big convalescent bases in West Africa, and he served there. And then after the war, he got married, and he thought he would go out there for another couple of years because he'd enjoyed the life there. But he ended up staying for 30 years. And I was born and spent most of my infancy and early childhood out there as well.
How did you start writing?
I remember at about the age of 15 or 16, when I suppose one starts thinking, you know, what the hell am I going to do when I grow up, when I'm an adult? I just remember thinking I would like to be an artist, or either an artist, or I was quite good at painting and drawing, and but I was also good at writing English essays and so on. So it was really just an idle ambition that I allowed to grow in me. I didn't do much about it, and I went to university to read English literature, and, you know, anybody who studies English literature at some point weighs up the fact of, you know, can I possibly do the same sort of thing as I'm studying? But it was there was no kind of blinding flash of light, and I wasn't a precocious student or anything like that. It was just a kind of hankering for the writer's life that allowed me to sort of drift into it in a way.
Your writing is for the most part comic, satirical. Do you ever try to write something serious and find out that it comes out funny?
Well, you're exactly right. In fact, I remember one of my unpublished novels. I started off to write a very grim, earnest work, and it turned into a sort of ironic, absurd comedy. And I think it just depends on the way you see the world, how you pitch your particular fiction. I'm not a sort of tragedian at all. I don't see the world as a sort of veil of tears, and my own approach to it determines inevitably, I think, that when I write about things, even tragic things or grim things, that there's always a kind of ironic or absurd twist to them. And it's not something that I've worked up. I think it's just inherent.
Well, does that irony and absurdity enter into the way you perceive tragic events in your own life?
With hindsight, perhaps. But of course, at the time, I'm like anybody else.
Falling apart.
Yes, you know, yeah. Absolutely shattered. But distance, you know, lends any kind of event in your own life a different set of qualities. But it's when I'm dealing with my characters, I can be much more ruthless than I can with my own life. And I give my characters a tremendously hard time. But it's sort of in the interests of showing the sort of absurd, uncontrollable aspects of existence.
Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Not at all. It's a great pleasure.
William Boyd's new novel is called The New Confessions. You're listening to Fresh Air.